Lord, we're so thankful to be here this morning. And Lord, we lift up all those that are sick, all those that are hurting this morning. May your healing hand come upon them. Lord, I pray for this service time now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. Father, I know it's not my words, but it's your words being spoke through me, Lord, that we all need to hear this morning. So may your anointing be strong here. May you open up our hearts, our ears, to receive the message, that our faith would be strengthened. There would be no fear in any one of us this morning. That our confidence and our trust would be solely in you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before I forget to tell y'all, there's some bags of apples in the back that were brought. So if any of you would like a bag of apples or a few apples, you can open them up or whatever. Please feel free to help yourself. They're underneath the table in the back. I meant to mention this earlier, and I mean this in all seriousness. If any of you are out of work, if any of you do get sick and you're having trouble making it financially, please let us know. That's what the church is here for. We've been studying in Acts on Sunday nights and how they would sell their possessions and give so that nobody would be doing without. And church, we can help take care of you, okay? If you do get in that circumstance, if you do get in that situation, please let us know. Because it would be our honor and privilege to be able to help you if you do get sick and you miss work for an extended period of time. The Lord's blessed our church, and we would be more than happy to help you make sure you got groceries, make sure your electric bill, your house payment, or whatever the need may be. And I mean that, and this church means that. We'd be more than happy to help if any of you get in that situation. And so, I had what I thought was going to be my sermon this week, and then I got so frustrated driving home Friday because I'm listening to the radio, and I'm not going to get into politics, but that's what got me frustrated, okay? Because I'm listening to the radio, and I'm hearing, and I listen to conservative Christian radio, okay? So they're not going to have the same stuff on that other news medias might, and I'm not going into politics, but they're sitting here telling me this one thing that's going on with this bill being passed and everything, okay? So then I see on my phone this headline that is completely opposite of what the Christian radio family, the family radio, whatever it is, 88.9 or 89.7 is what I listen to, is completely opposite on the headline on my phone of what they just said. And you click on the story and I begin to read it, and the headline really doesn't even match the context of the story. So what got going in my mind is, how many people just see a headline and they just say, wow, I can't believe our president's doing this, or I can't believe this person's doing that, or I can't believe this happened. And they just look at the headline and they don't really look at the context of the whole story. Now, I'm not talking about politics this morning. I'm not talking about our president, but I'm talking about what we need to be. Beware of headlines, okay? And that's the title of the message today, is beware of headlines, because headlines can get you going in the wrong direction. Matthew 27:15, and I just added this in this morning because I really thought that this was going to be a quick, brief sermon in, out, but man, the Lord keeps giving me more and more. So this was added in this morning. Matthew 27:15, it says, Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. This Barabbas was a bad dude, okay? And so you're sitting here, I don't know if you guys know anybody in the community, but there maybe is a thief that you don't trust, that they're always causing trouble, and maybe they've been in and out of jail and everything else. That's who this Barabbas would be. And then you have Jesus over here that it's really just out of envy that they're jealous of him, that he's been put behind bars here. While Pilate, verse 19, while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Beware of the headlines, okay? The sway of the crowd and what the media is pushing, and beware of what they're trying to say. Because right here, who really needed to be released? It was Jesus. But what happened? The leaders persuaded the crowds, no, we want Barabbas released. Verse 21, "Which of the two do you want me to release?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The crowd got going, right? The crowd got stirred up. And it was being driven by an evil that was just, there was a purpose. We know that. There was a purpose of Jesus being crucified. But behind all this, it was envy. It was jealousy. And y'all, we need to be aware of what's taking place in our society. We need to be aware and be informed and have knowledge of what's really going on behind the scenes, if we can, and not just follow the quick little news media headlines. This is happening or that's happening. Have any of y'all ever got sucked into one of those stories, or has it just been me? This big headline, you need to read this, and because this has happened or this person has done this, and then you click on it, and the story doesn't even match the headline, but if you don't read into it, and then what happens? Fear sets in, and we begin to fear, and we begin to worry, and we begin to fret. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 4. He says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." That's who we should be fearing, not a disease, not a pandemic or epidemic or whatever it's called. That we should be fearing God. And what's the Bible say? That the fear of God, Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." That is the fear that we should have today in our society, in our culture. Tim said something really good Wednesday night afterwards, and I don't know if he's posted it or talked about it or going to talk about it, but he said, you look at all the fear about a virus, and there's all this panic, but where's the fear about sin in our life? The thing that can destroy us, the thing that can send us to hell. And you don't see the uproar, you don't see the fear in that. But here he says, don't fear everybody else, don't fear the headlines, fear God. And that is the beginning of wisdom. And I love how this begins to, I'm not going to stay here long, but the next verses then, he says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows." I love that he goes from fear God who can send you to hell, but look, you have value. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. You have value. The fear
is there, but there's a love that's there too. The love that God has for us. Let's go to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28.
We didn't make it there in Sunday school, but I didn't realize we was in Romans 8 this morning in Sunday school, but we didn't make it quite to this point. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So we're looking around at the world right now, and we're going, how's there any good going on? I mean, there's violence, there's crime, there's disease, there's rumors of war, there's all this stuff going on. How can we say there's anything good going on? Well, I would tell you this. I got an email last night, and some of you may have got an email from Bill Britt last night. It was more of a personal email. But I hadn't even thought about this, as he said, we really need to be praying for evangelists. He said many evangelists that depend on their conferences and things is their livelihood are all being canceled because people's full of fear. So they're not working. God can provide for them too. If you know anybody that's evangelist that needs help, let us know, you know. But you also look at what can be happening right now with people living in such fear. We as Christians should not be living in the same fear that the world has. And it's an opportunity for us to tell them about Jesus Christ and who Jesus is and how they can have peace and how they can have joy and how they don't have to live in the fear and the dread like everybody else is. Verse 29, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to His likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Is God for you this morning? Yes, He is. If you are His child, God is for you this morning. Then who can be against us? But look, verse 32, He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? What can separate us from God? It's not any of these earthly things. It's not any of these things that we're seeing on the headlines and the news. None of that can separate us from God. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep going to be slaughtered. Now, church, what I really want to talk to you about today is not fearing, okay? That God is with us. But I also want you to understand that we as children of God, we are on display. Okay, we're on display, and people's looking at your lives, even at this moment. How are they reacting? How is that Christian reacting to all this fear, to all this worry, to all this turbulence in the world? And if we're acting with joy and peace and gentleness like we should be full of, they're going to take note of that. That we're not running around like everybody else in fear. Verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We need to stop being so fearful of the world and everything in it. And y'all, I'm not just preaching at you, I'm preaching at myself, because sometimes I get gripped with that fear, and sometimes you start looking at the headlines and you thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And when it hits at your house, it's a little different story than seeing what's going on overseas, right? Than what's going on in Italy. But it gets at your workplace and your home, then all at once, well, hey, this is a little more personal now.
Y'all, that's why we need to be full of this Word and full of the Holy Spirit, so that we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not full of fear, not full of all this stuff that's going on in the world. And just like David, when he faced Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:45, and David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And church, I think we need to understand that behind all this fear and all this stuff, the enemy is trying to destroy us. If nothing can separate us from the love of God, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Why don't we have that same confidence that David had when he's facing Goliath? You think that's a big giant that's standing there face to face that he could see? I shouldn't ask that if any of y'all have ever been in a fight, but y'all, there was one time, I wasn't a fighter. I wasn't, you know, I've been in a few fights in my life, and there was one time I was downtown doing stuff that I shouldn't have been doing, and this kid from Hartford came up, and he was probably about 6'3 and about 300 pounds, and I was about 20 pounds less than what I am now, about the same height, and this other kid from Mansfield starts mouthing him, saying, "That guy right there, he's the one that run over you in football. He was the one that made you look dumb," and just started mouthing, talking, you know. And this guy's drunk, and he's huge, and he come up to me, and he's looking down on me. I was scared, because he wouldn't have had no problem cleaning the parking lot with me. I was scared. I mean, and I'm like, what am I going to do, you know. And then this other big old boy that knew my dad come over to him and said, "You're Jeff's boy, aren't you? Leave him alone," and shoved him back. And then everything was okay, you know. Had a connection. Big dude told the other big dude, "Leave him alone." But y'all, I was scared. He could have whooped me, no problem. I'm man enough to admit. David's facing this huge giant. And for many of us, would we not be scared? Would we not be full of fear? The whole army, nobody would go against him. He was that big. He was that mean. But David says, "You're coming against me and with the javelin, with the spear, with the sword. I ain't worried about you. Because I have God on my side. Almighty God." Y'all, you know what? God's for us today. God's still on our side if you are His child. And we need to stop being so gripped with fear and worry. Psalms 121:2 says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Do we understand that? Do we recognize that God is here to help us, to see us through? Let me see if I can find it. Got all these pages marked in my Bible. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to read this. Let me find it. Jeremiah 29:11. There it is. Jeremiah 29:11. We all know these verses. I wanted to read a couple extra though, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." See, I think that last part, we always talk about the plans to prosper you and not to harm you for hope and a future. But I think verse 13 is so important. "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." This morning, if you're full of fear, you know what we need to do? You need to pray. You need to begin to seek God. You need to begin to grab a hold of some of these verses that I've already read and verses that I'm about to read. Like Psalms 121:2, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." God is able. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we need to stop being so full of fear and begin to seek God with all of our heart and know that He is in control. What can combat fear? Wisdom.
right? Knowledge. If you know something and you know about something, it can take away all the fear. If you got a big test to take and you've studied and you know the book, the chapter cover to cover, and you go to take that test, what happens? Or you begin to see the questions and all at once this confidence arises, right? Like, I know this. Why? Because you have wisdom, because you have knowledge. And see, that's the thing. When we know God, when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, then we have knowledge and we have wisdom and we can say, God is for me. Who can be against me? God is there. He will see us through the hard times. He will see us through the difficulties. Wisdom. In Leviticus 15, it talks about bodily discharge. And it's telling the people that if someone is discharging bodily fluids of some kind or whatever, that they need to wash the clothes, wash the bedding, wash their hands. You guys can go and back and read it in Leviticus 15 if you want. There's all these rules, there's all these regulations for cleanliness. Why is that there? They didn't know back then, but there's germs, right? There's things that's being transmitted in all that. So they're just looking at it. It's a law from God that we need to obey. But now, what? We have wisdom and we understand that somebody said Witcherville had hand sanitizer at their doors to hit when you come in, hit when you go out or whatever. I'm sorry. I got a little hand sanitizer like that in my backpack right now for work. I can bring it in if y'all need it this morning, okay? That's all the hand sanitizer I've got. But God knew about the germs, right? That's why some of those laws were there. Y'all, now we have the wisdom that there's germs, that there's bacteria, that there's different things. We need to wash our hands. We need to be careful. But y'all, there's a difference between walking in fear and walking in wisdom. Does this make sense? Of having wisdom of, it's not fear that I wash my hands, it's knowledge that I need to wash my hands after I use the bathroom, after I've coughed, after I've shook in somebody's hand, right? Because there's germs. There's no fear in it, it's wisdom now. And that's where we need to understand is that not to walk around in fear, but to be wise. I don't know if this is coming across right or not. Are y'all asleep this morning? Everybody getting this? Not to walk around in fear, but to have wisdom. In Acts 16, Paul was kept by the Holy Spirit from going in the province of Asia. The Holy Spirit said, and it wouldn't allow Paul to go. So was it fear that kept Paul from going? No, it was the Holy Spirit saying, Paul, don't go. So what I'm telling you guys is we need to be smart. We don't need to be full of fear, but we need to be full of wisdom, listening to God's voice and hearing God's voice. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6 is where we're going next. He says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. As I was reading this and I was thinking about it. And I was thinking about cancer patients. And I was thinking about some people, you know, when they're diagnosed with cancer, what do? They begin to study. They begin to educate. They begin to look at all the different ways that there can be treatment available, right? They want to gain wisdom. They want to gain understanding about this disease that has overtaken them. You look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure because they're desperate. You know, if they don't get the right treatment, they could die.
But I wonder how many of us treat God with that same intensity. God, I need you. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. God, I need understanding. Do I go to work this week or do I stay home? Do I go minister to this person or do I stay home? God, what do I do? And y'all, I can't answer that question for you. But we don't need to do things out of fear, but out of wisdom and praying. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. God, if it means canceling service, we're going to cancel service. God, if it means coming to church, we're coming to church. If it means sitting 6 foot apart, we sit 6 foot apart. I think we could about do it. We got enough empty pews here. But not base our decisions on fear because we're prayed up and we're saying, Lord, just guide me. Lord, just direct me. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. But may I not react out of fear? Because, Lord, I know you're in control. I know you can handle it. And, Lord, what's the biggest thing that I have to fear? Coming to meet you in person, face to face? Well, you've gone to prepare a place for me. And the Bible says that if I've gone to prepare a place for you, that I will come back. That where I am, there you may be also. Y'all, people's going to be looking at our lives. Are we full of fear? Are we full of wisdom? Are we seeking God for guidance in these times of trouble, in these times of turbulence? In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We should be asking God for wisdom, and he says that he gives generously. God will give generously to you. It's funny with some medical things that I've had, and I've gone to the doctors and I've done different things, and it's funny that sometimes, you know, I'll just be talking to somebody, and it's usually Tim, and I'll be talking to him, and all at once the Lord will say, do this. And Tim didn't say to do that. The Lord will just say, do this. Because you know why I think it happens when I'm talking to Tim? Because if any of y'all have ever talked to Tim, Tim's not really an in-the-box kind of guy. He's kind of an out-of-the-box thinker, okay? And he doesn't go with the norm. He seeks wisdom from the Lord. I'm not trying to puff him up or anything else. You guys know that. But it gets me thinking out of the box. Instead of just take this pill and do this, and the culture and the society and the headlines, it gets me thinking out of the box. But you know what? It shouldn't take Tim getting me to think out of the box. It should be me on my knees saying, Lord, what would thou have me do? What would thou have me do? And believe it or not, y'all, things that the Lord has given me to do has helped. Way more than going to the doctors. It's crazy. It's crazy because God knows intimately, personally, what I need. But what do? We react in fear. And we don't seek wisdom and we don't seek guidance. But He says, I'll give it to you generously. John 14:27 says, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. If you're afraid this morning, God can give you peace. God can give you a peace like you've never known. John 16:33, and this is the last verse. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I really wanted to be careful this morning to not preach to you. And you guys get the sense that Pete just preached a message that if we seek God and His wisdom and His counsel, we're not going to be afraid and nothing's ever going to go wrong and nothing's going to happen to us and we're going to be the happiest and healthiest people of all time. That's not what I'm saying. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, there will be problems. You may get sick. You may have different things come up. But y'all, God has overcome the world. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we need the Holy Spirit more than ever in these days. And we need His guidance and we need His wisdom. More so than we need CNN or Fox News or even your doctor. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need wisdom, and we need guidance, and we need to know. People's looking at our lives, and they're wondering, how's these people that claim to have all this joy and all this peace reacting? Let's stand. Holy Spirit, I pray right now for every person in this room, Lord, that if we're battling fear, if we're battling anxiety, that You would bring peace upon each and every one of us. Lord, that if where we have questions on what to do, Lord, whether to cancel church, whether to go to church, whether to go to work, whether to stay home, Lord, that we would seek You for wisdom. Lord, nobody'd be listening to me. Nobody'd be listening to the news, to even their families and friends, but Father, that we would be seeking You for counsel. That we would be seeking You for advice, Lord. That Your Holy Spirit would be guiding and directing us in every decision that we make. And that no decision we make would be made out of fear. May we all have peace this morning and know that You are here with us. But Father, I also pray that we wouldn't be arrogant. We wouldn't be arrogant, that we would humble ourselves, Lord. And if You say don't, we wouldn't. We wouldn't think we're Superman, Lord, but we would know that by Your direction, that You watch over us, that You'll keep us safe. May we seek You now with all of our heart. May we seek You as that buried treasure. And Your will for each and every one of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name.
Hide me now under Your wings.
To You again, Pete, if you don't mind. It just seems the words to that song, just the message that Pete just preached, the words to this song all go together.
God, I look to You. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision. See things like You do. God, I look to You. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Yeah. God, I look to You. give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God.
Church, this, like I said, it may be an opportunity for you to witness to a coworker you've never had the opportunity to witness to before. Maybe it'll be the opportunity for you to help somebody in need and show them God's love. But let's seek the Lord. Let's not be afraid. Seek the Lord in everything, and even bugs and viruses. There's bags of apples in the back. If you want some, please feel free to take them. Once again, honestly, church, if the Lord leads us to close the doors for a few weeks, we'll do it. Not out of fear, out of wisdom. Be prayed up and understand what God's telling us to do. If you need help, please, please, please let us know. Electric bill, water bill, groceries, toilet paper, whatever, please let us know. That's why we're a family, and that's what families do. They help each other. So if any of you need help in the coming weeks, if you know somebody that's in dire need that needs help, whether they come to our church or not, let us know, okay? Bible study tonight, 6:30. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.